It's one day before Valentine's Day, so it's February 13th.
It's your last chance.
Today's hardware news and business news and that kind of stuff.
If you're buying jewelry today, forget it.
If you're buying pretty much anything today, forget it.
Yeah, candy. Now, tomorrow, that's the day to buy candy at the end of the day. Well, no, you probably have to wait till the next day, right?
Yeah, so last year I was really upset because Walmart did not discount the candy until the 15th.
That makes sense because you could still show up. Anyway, Valentine's Day is a late holiday because if you're dating, that's the night.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
We're going to go to dinner together. No.
Netflix and chill.
It's going to be a record amount of pizza and delivery food ordered and delivered.
I ordered pizza. I did the heart-shaped pizza last year. You remember that? Oh, yeah. People tweeted the pictures of the terrible heart shapes that they weren't really able to do.
They were made by unskilled labor.
Because I don't think they had a template. They just tried to do it by hand, and then once it came out of the oven, not good. Also not good, based on which side of the equation you're looking at it from, is another major price cut from Tesla.
Model 3 price cut for the second time this year. Oh no, Tesla's doing the price cuts. Now, this was to make up for something else, so really the price is staying the same because you don't get other discounts that you used to. The subsidy actually, and something else.
Well, it's better because this was a referral that's going away. Yeah. But you weren't necessarily going to use the referral.
Yeah.
So the referral went away. I don't think that was the only thing that... I think that's the excuse.
Yeah.
I think they're dropping the price because the demand is not there.
They need to sell more.
More. And in the earnings call, which wasn't great, where they talked about they're dropping 7% of the workforce, he emphasized that they had to do everything they can to cut costs. Because the cost of the cars were killing them. They still have not got it down to a good price where they make a good margin. So, we'll see. And further bad news. Now, I remember it was back in 2018 when the winter was pretty mild. But in Michigan, of course, certain parts of Michigan, it stays cold.
Super cold, yeah.
And that's where the electric guy lives. And it was surprising because he actually came out and he was like, y'all know I love Tesla. I'm basically, you know, some sort of zealot for Tesla. But here in the cold Michigan, weird things are happening. Like, the doors wouldn't open. So, they've had to do some things to make it a little bit more cold weather friendly, but have they done enough?
AAA confirms what Tesla, BMW, and Nissan electric owners and others have suspected. Cold weather saps the electric vehicle range. Even turning on the car drains power. So, yeah. Batteries are cold, it's not going to work as well. There are heaters to heat the batteries, but those also use power.
Yeah, so across the board testing, in I think it was below 20 degrees, you could lose 41% of your range out of your fully charged battery.
There's also a lot of other little annoying things, like the handles get stuck and the windows get stuck.
Well, they supposedly fixed that. So I guess it's the Model S, has the windows that don't have frames on the top that just push up into the weatherproofing. The fix was they don't push up as far. So the weatherproofing isn't as good. Weird fix.
That's the fix for cold weather.
And the handles don't sink all the way down because, again,
they could be frozen.
That's the fix. So, and also that 41% does not take into account you running the heater as you drive. Yeah. So you probably would. In less than 20 degree weather.
We should install a small chemical reactor to offset the...
Oh, wait. Yeah, that sounds safe. Now, my car has a giant engine. And when that thing has been burning for a while, it uses the supplements, the cabin heat off of that thing. You could roast steaks coming out of those vents. I mean, it's like, you almost can't have a good middle ground. It's either the temperature of the sun or off. But hey, it's nice and warm. You're not going to get that in a Tesla. And another thing that may be keeping Mr. Musk up at night is this new program.
Freedom EV. Yes, you can root your Tesla and run Linux on it, like Linux natively. It has a cloak mode, so it turns off all the tracking and all the other stuff. You can take control of your vehicle, not Musk.
Right. And this also helps when you rebuild a wrecked Tesla. Because, obviously, that's not an easy thing to do. And you might wait 6 months to have it fixed. But if you can do it yourself, you can root it and take control of it without having them do all the various things.
Neat.
Pretty cool. It's like one guy doing this.
Yeah.
And he has open sourced it.
I wonder if Tesla will just hire him to make it go away.
That would be the smart thing to do. But I don't know if he's for hire. Can he be corrupted?
Yes. I'm sure that he can. It's just a matter of what amount of money.
Well, it is a trend in the video card world to iterate up with your numbers. Every series goes up to a new number. But based on this trend, will we now have to iterate down to match the size?
I don't know. AMD Radeon 7 review. Performance benchmarks with 7 nanometer Vega. This is from Hot Hardware. So there are tons and tons of benchmarks and all kinds of interesting stuff for Radeon 7. It's basically the 7 nanometer Radeon Instinct MI50 that was released last year. It's like 60 CUs, I think. The performance is pretty good. It's on par with the RTX 2080, but it's got 16 gigs of really high performance HBM2. It's approximately the same price. A lot of people are kind of upset that it's not, you know, faster. AMD's not offering anything faster than a 2080 Ti, but it's looking like the Radeon 7 is going to be great for content creators and people that need 16 gigabytes of HBM2 memory.
It's always the case with AMD, and maybe this is calculated, but they just simply compete in the performance area. Like, they'll put out a card, might be a little cheaper, although this one's not. This one's the exact same price.
HBM2 is crazy expensive.
And they'll get as good as the stock NVIDIA. You've got all these overclocked, overcooled versions that are going to beat it. And AMD seems happy. It's like, well, we don't really care about that round.
If they're unloading their inventory that wasn't good enough to be like the Instinct cards, then this makes sense. And I think that AMD is also sort of learning the pipeline. I mean, NVIDIA is a much larger company, so AMD is going to struggle a little bit in software and development and things like that. And we see that in the enterprise with like RockM versus CUDA and some of the machine learning stuff. But in terms of like raw performance, these cards are insanely fast, especially the new Radeon 7. But I really think the performance benefit for it is going to be for content creators rather than gamers. Like, it's at parity from gaming, but I think for content creators, they're going to have a significantly better experience. I got to test that, though.
They also talk about, you know, AMD has a history of unlocking more performance as time goes by.
Yeah.
And they felt like there was some potential for these. Of course, that's not a good reason to buy a video card.
No.
It's like, hey, maybe it'll get faster. But
Polaris has held up well by comparison, but, you know, time will tell.
Well, you talk about the supply chain and how NVIDIA is better at it. But are they? They made a bit of a stumble with the end of cryptocurrency and that mania. And so much of one that it seems like the rats might be heading for the exits.
SoftBank sells its entire $3.6 billion NVIDIA investment. This flew under the radar of a lot of people. But yeah, SoftBank, remember, had invested a whole bunch of money in NVIDIA. They've sold everything. So I think that they're looking at the writing on the wall, and they're looking at where NVIDIA's margins came from. And a lot of that had to do with cryptocurrency. Some of it may be that, some analysts have said that maybe it is understated just how much 10 series graphics card inventory NVIDIA has left. Maybe that factored in here.
Yeah, well, don't know. We'll see. Now that AMD has an alternative that's a little bit better than the 10 series stuff.
Except for the flagship card.
Of course, with the prices.
Yeah. Enjoy your $1,500 graphics card. It's like,
It doesn't make any sense. Well, we talked last episode about the cable lobby, how it is overwhelmingly made up of revolving door FCC employees, and that they make some arguments that are nonsensical, I guess is a kind of an understatement. And this is certainly one of those.
Cable lobby asks for net neutrality law allowing paid prioritization. That's not what a neutral net necessarily means.
But what you're ignoring here, you're being biased. There's a public benefit. What is the public benefit? No one's saying.
I think that the proof's in the pudding here. So if you look at what happened with Comcast and Netflix, Comcast acted as if it had the authority to not throttle. Let's be clear. They always said we're not throttling Netflix. They just allowed their peering links to become congested. And so a lot of the disingenuous terminology that the telecommunications company used when a service like Netflix became popular on their network, it was to just allow their upstream links to become congested. Basically, they were not buying enough capacity to satisfy their customers, which they should be responsible for doing since they're an internet supplier. It would be like, I don't know, a watermelon salesman selling everybody watermelon, but most people don't actually collect the watermelon. And then some people are like, hey, I would like watermelon. It's in vogue. And then they don't have enough watermelon. So I don't know. Anyway, that's falling apart. Anyway.
You're using the you wouldn't steal a car argument. I don't think it holds up. You're correct, but your argument is flawed.
Yeah, yeah. There's definitely – their argument is just – it's so wrong that it makes me want to have an aneurysm.
They don't have an argument. They were not able to name one way that that would be a benefit for the public.
What it comes down to is the ISP wants to charge the public for access to its network, and it wants to charge people on the internet for access to its network. And it's like, I'm sorry, you don't. That's not how that works. You don't get to charge both parties.
But it kind of is how it works.
Yeah.
Because they have the government in their pocket.
Yeah.
Oh, well. We'll see how that plays out. It seems like there's enough of a backlash against it. The internet is enough ingrained in our lives that even the politicians are figuring out, it's like, okay, we have to pander to this. Which is good. You know, that's something, maybe. The other thing that the big tech companies are finding out is that these new EU fines adding up quickly.
Google now pays more money in EU fines than it pays in taxes. Google files 2018 revenues revealing that it pays about $900 million more in fines than it pays in taxes.
Now, of course, that's just wow. In the EU. I don't think that's the case in America. But it's even more impressive considering the high tax rates over there. Of course, they're probably loopholing out of most of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is the data privacy stuff and the, you know, non-monopoly stuff.
GDPR was not in effect for all of 2018 either.
Yeah, and they're getting serious about it. So, of course, Google's still making plenty of money.
Yeah.
They can afford that. It's almost like it's just a new form of taxation. Now, what I wonder is, where is that fine money going? Is that just going straight into the government coffers?
Yeah, just like operational expenses.
Yeah, that's disgusting. It's funding the bureaucracy to make more fines.
Yeah.
Which is just like, it's a cancer that's feeding itself.
Speaking of cancers feeding themselves.
Well, there's two schools of thought here. Would you be happy if we got an Amazon distribution center right here in town?
It would make things go faster when you order stuff.
I would not, just based on traffic.
So what if tired. It was like just a little bit outside town?
Nah, because they would all live here. Oh. And they all shop here, and they're here on the weekends when I want to drive fast. And that's not acceptable. The people in New York, now this is a Washington Post article, so they get into some of like the social justice reasons, but there are a lot of people who don't want Amazon.
So the Washington Post says, facing opposition, Amazon reconsiders its New York headquarters site, two officials are saying. So Amazon was planning to bring 25,000 jobs to its New York City campus, but what do you call that? Gentrification? It's going to need to buy some neighborhoods, and right. Like it's going to tear a bunch of stuff down.
Well, the housing costs. Wow. Because you're bringing in 25,000 moderately paid people,
yeah,
who are going to need to live somewhere. And also, the subsidies were like $3 billion?
Yeah.
New York was going to give them $3 billion. Some people are bucking against that. So they just elected this, or they appointed a new guy to some kind of oversight committee who is staunchly anti-Amazon. And Amazon's stance is basically, hey, we see what you're doing here. We'll walk away, bro. We don't care. We'll walk away. Look at Virginia. Virginia loves us. We will go where we are loved. And some of the other people who, you know, organized the deal, they're like, no, no, please, Amazon.
And Jeff Bezos having his own private helicopter corridor through New York City. I mean, that seems reasonable.
Why not? Why not? He is, after all, he's not the world's richest man still, is he? Or no, the company's not the number one company anymore.
Yeah.
And soon to be halved his wealth, I'm sure he will. It'll probably take him at least 6 months to build back up to number one.
Foreshadowing.
So a lot of times I'll go on Amazon and I'll be looking at a product that is sold by that company because, you know, it tells you who sells it. But then you'll look at the reviews and somebody's like, they sent me a box of bricks. And it's like, well, that was clearly another seller. So I don't know if they just consolidate the reviews, but it makes me paranoid now because it's like, am I going to get a counterfeit product? It seems to be a big problem.
Is that company real? It's like, Amazon has finally admitted to investors that it has a counterfeit problem. There's multiple layers to this counterfeiting problem too. As people who order a lot from Amazon, you can get products that are clones of real products, where it's like you get the product and it looks like it's a real product. It's not a real product. You can also get a bag of bricks. You can also be thinking that you're ordering from like the legit seller, but it turns out like some scammer has set up their company name to be like it's the company that makes whatever that is, but that company's not actually doing business on Amazon.
Yeah, and it's such a big problem that Amazon, for the first time ever, has actually, during a conference call, admitted, yes, this is a problem, and no, we're not sure exactly what we're going to do about it.
Yeah.
Because what can you do about it?
So like working on the level 1 KVM, we probably ordered 150 DisplayPort cables from Amazon. And about 12 of those were actually like correct spec DisplayPort cables. Everything else was trash. Even Amazon Basics. Like, I think Amazon has been caught up in some of the counterfeiting, because we had some Amazon Basics cables that were definitely for sure not from Amazon and definitely like just basically garbage.
You know who I bet is just reaping huge benefits from this is Monster Cables. Because people are like, they were right. This is junk. I need the gold-plated stuff.
It's not that hard to get a DisplayPort cable right, but good Lord.
Well, speaking of Jeff Bezos, he, of course, is going through a divorce, a very public divorce. And we didn't really know that much about him privately.
Yeah.
Well, of course, you knew the public face of him and his Lex Luthor-like power. But we didn't know much about him privately. And now, some really candid photos have leaked, and he's basically gone supervillain over it.
Jeff Bezos accuses the National Enquirer of blackmail and publishes apparent emails as evidence. So when you go down the rabbit hole on this one, it is super, super interesting. It seems like the National Enquirer was trying to blackmail Jeff Bezos. And now, of course, they deny that. But there's some really interesting stuff going on here. Like, how did they get this in the first place? And what's happening and that kind of thing.
Here's my favorite quote from this article.
If in my position, I can't stand up to this kind of extortion, how many people can?
Let me rephrase that for you. Do you know who the fuck I am?
I think they just miscalculated, because like most people in Bezos's position of power, like if they got an email and it's like, look, we know about the affair, we're going to expose it, blah, blah, blah. But he really took the thing by the horns and he's like, all right, I'm going to go public. I'm going to talk to my wife. I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. We're going to figure all this out. I'm going to write a Medium post. He literally wrote his own post on Medium to like explain everything. I was like, holy crap, dude. I mean, he is like getting in front of it.
I think he is so just overwhelmingly head over heels for this new girl. That's the reason for all of this. Because it was like, oh, I'm divorcing you, Jeff, and I'm taking $70 billion. And he was like, all right. And then I'm like, Jeff, we've got nudes. We're releasing them. And he was like, you have to pay us off. And he's like, no, you will not do anything to threaten my love. So, yeah, I think this will be bad for the Enquirer.
Yeah.
Certainly, he has an unlimited budget to sue them. So this is probably going to be in court for a little while.
I think also this might turn into being a good thing for encryption and privacy for Joe Average Citizen. You think he'll be like, no, we must like ensure that there's encryption and blah, blah, blah.
Well, it's funny because he's claiming it wasn't. It was like state actors.
Yeah.
And they could have used resources that no one else has. Yeah, they could have used the phone networks themselves.
Yeah, that's what one of his investigators strongly suspects, that they got one of the phone network things and were using an unpublished exploit against his phone based on the forensic investigation.
I wonder what kind of phone he uses.
I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
That'd be cool to find out.
I can't wait for the court case, because all that is probably not going to be sealed and it's probably going to be real interesting.
It also shows you the we are slaves to our genetics. And the fact that the world's richest man decided that it was an okay risk to send nudes over the phone. It doesn't matter how successful you are. It doesn't. You are not driving this boat. There's DNA. There's that urge to reproduce. That's driving the boat. You'll give up $70 billion. You'll take nudes as the world's most powerful man. Doesn't matter.
He gave up over 100 Woody Allens.
Well, Woody Allen, another man that was very motivated by lust and did some weird stuff. And the latest accusation has cost him quite a bit.
Woody Allen has sued Amazon for $68 million for refusing to release his films. So apparently Woody Allen had a deal with Amazon to do some films. And
well, they were going
to
buy his back catalog.
Because of accusations against Woody, they backed out. But he said, no, those accusations are old. There's nothing new in those. But the whole like Weinstein thing happened, and he's just like, no.
Well, do you know the story of Woody Allen? Okay. So this is going to take a little bit to explain, because it's a tangled web. So Woody Allen was married to Mia Farrow. Mia Farrow, from a previous marriage, had adopted Sun Yi. So Woody Allen marries... Sun Yi is a teenager, okay? He becomes her father, her stepfather. Sun Yi reaches the age of 18, and the wife claims, Mia Farrow claims, that's when she found nude photos taken by Woody of the girl.
Well, I think, didn't the girl actually say that Woody Allen molested her and some other stuff?
No. You're getting ahead of yourself here. Sun Yi was, she was all for it. So they then marry. He divorces Mia Farrow and marries Sun Yi, his stepdaughter.
Okay, I missed that.
They didn't mention that here. That's like a secret that nobody talks about. So he is currently married to Sun Yi, but they had another daughter, Dylan Farrow, also adopted, who has now come out as an adult saying that Woody also molested her.
That makes a lot more sense.
Right. So not only does he have a history of accusations, he married his stepdaughter. He is currently married to his stepdaughter.
Well, and his position is that Amazon would have known that when they entered into the deal.
Right. And well, the accusations had surfaced before, but now the girl herself has written. She said, yes, this is true. So.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how that one plays out.
It's amazing the hypocrisy of Hollywood. I don't know if any of it's true. I mean, well, he's married to... But she was not related. She was adopted and from a previous marriage. So, okay, fine.
But isn't he like a billion years old now?
He was 56 when she was 18.
Yes.
So, but she's still with him and supposedly happy. So maybe it's fine. But in the Me Too era, the fact that he gets away with it.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of crazy. So I kind of understand what Amazon's doing here.
Amazon also had fired the guy that brokered the deal that worked for him or worked for Amazon. So the Amazon employee that set all this up is out.
Interesting. Interesting story. I wonder, do you think, I mean, I've watched some of his movies. I don't necessarily think they're as brilliant as a lot of people do. They're not bad. But how many more do you think he's got in him? You think Amazon Prime would benefit from?
No, the article mentioned that would be his like forever home for the rest of his career.
Yeah, all the rest of his movies would be Prime exclusives.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know. Yeah. Well, 5G or not 5G? That's the question. And the slings and arrows are coming from Sprint.
Sprint sues AT&T over 5G branding. So we covered the story a few weeks ago where AT&T has just decided unilaterally to relabel their 4G network as 5G.
And so, 5GE?
5GE.
That's totally different.
Yeah, that's what they want to say. They rolled out an iOS update with Apple to just change the labeling. And so Sprint is suing and saying, hey, FTC, this is unfair trade practices. They're calling it something that is confusingly similar to 5G. When it's not 5G, it's going to mislead the consumer.
But I think they did Android too now.
Yeah.
So it's not just iOS anymore. Yeah, and I think they've got a pretty good case.
Yeah. This is hideously.
It's 5G is in the news. If you don't know anything about technology, you get it from the political side. If you don't know anything about politics, you get it from the technology side. So it's hard to miss. And these phone companies definitely want to be riding that wave. So it does seem a little disingenuous for AT&T to 5G.
Look, we rolled out 5G. It's not 5G. that's not what we mean when we say 5G.
That's like selling something that's like beef X, but it's just soy.
Or almond milk. You can't milk an almond.
Well, here in Kentucky, where we live, most of you have worked that out, so I don't feel bad about saying it. We had a glimmer of hope that maybe someday we would get fiber. Even with our low population density and terrible, terrible service here. Maybe. Because Louisville got fiber. And we call it Louisville, not Louisville. That's
Louisville.
If you're thinking Louisville, you're wrong.
Google Fiber is leaving Louisville in humiliating setback. Gigabit internet service will shut down in Louisville on April 15th. So you don't have to pay for the last 2 months if you're a customer. But Google has basically said the infrastructure there is so broken that they would basically have to re-roll out everything. And speculation is that the reason for that is because they trenched the fiber optic cable in a lot of places because AT&T did not really want to provide access to the utility poles in a timely manner. And they did not trench it deep enough. They only put it a couple inches below the surface. But after they had problems in Louisville, subsequent cities, they trench much deeper, like 6 inches to a foot. And things are less problematic with the trench cables in those scenarios.
They also tried to put an epoxy on top of it. And that turned out to be not sunlight resistant.
Yeah.
Oops. So they've already redone it once with asphalt. But now they determined that they would have to just start over, and yeah, it doesn't make any sense. So, rip fiber.
Rip Google Fiber.
Oh, they're still going to operate in other places, just not here in the bluegrass.
Makes me sad. I wonder if anybody will try to buy their old fiber network to, like, patch things together.
That would be risky, because it's got to be deteriorating, right?
I feel like that if Google would just, or it's like, we need all techies in the city to come together, and you guys are going to work real hard this summer, and we're going to roll out fiber everywhere. I feel like that'd probably go pretty well.
You'd never be able to organize them correctly.
Yeah.
Plus, there'd be all the infighting about how to do it. You know, it's like, no, we should do it this way. I know.
Yeah.
You can never.
That makes me sad.
Yeah. Well, Spotify. I briefly thought about maybe I should switch to Spotify because I'm a Google Music customer, but I found out they'll let you block artists, and I need that. I need that feature. But this turned me off immediately.
Spotify bans ad blockers in updated terms of service. So they're cracking down on ad blockers.
They will literally turn you off if they find out you are using an ad blocker. They have anti-ad blocker stuff that's apparently state-of-the-art. You previously would get warning letters, but when this goes through, they might just turn you off.
So you pay for a service and you get ads?
Shocking.
That seems terrible. That's almost like somebody trying to charge you for access to their network, but there's nothing on their network if they're charging everybody to get on their network from the other side. But seems terrible.
Sounds like cable and satellite TV industry as well. And satellite radio.
This is a terrible business model. Just terrible.
Reddit. Reddit sort of paints itself as a champion of free speech. And yet, if you delve into any of the unpopular subreddits, you will see amazing, amazing censorship and, you know, mods out of control, and just it's a terrible, terrible platform. But they really don't want you to think that. They want you to think that they're beacons of anti-censorship, which makes this weird.
Reddit has, you know, because they're banned in China, is reportedly set to land $150 million investment from a Chinese censorship powerhouse. Don't know what's going on with this. There were two stories about this on Reddit, and both of them had the Tiananmen Square tank picture as headlines. They're both gone.
That company is Tencent, which we've talked about before. Tencent is the mega game publisher they do telecommunications, right? They do a bunch of stuff in China there. And it turns out, I did not know the depth of this, but Tencent and all the other tech companies actually run the firewall. I mean, they run it at the behest of the government, but they pretty much maintain and control it. So Tencent running the Chinese firewall blocks Reddit 100% from China, but they're also going to invest $150 million into Reddit.
Reddit has a lot of users, but they haven't figured out how to make money with it. It's a little bit of a problem.
Well, Reddit used to be owned by Condé Nast. They're not anymore, right?
I don't know. They might have a little bit of interest in them, but probably not.
Well, that was sort of the beginning of the end, I think, because Condé Nast, a terrible, terrible company. I remember it was hilarious because during the election, people were sort of like putting together collages of Condé Nast and how desperately anti-Trump they were. And the best one was an article, like a just viciously anti-Trump article in Golf Magazine. Hey, I want to learn a little bit about golf. What? But if you are fans of their publications, bad news.
Condé Nast will put every single publication behind a paywall by year's end. Everything they own. The headline is GQ, but yeah, that's pretty much the whole story. Is Condé Nast is like, yep, paywalls are the future. That's where we're going.
So they mentioned a few here.
Architectural Digest.
Glamour. Bon Appetit. GQ. There's a lot more than that. They own a lot. Well, Golf Digest, for example. But they own a ton of magazines. New Yorker, Wired, Vanity Fair. Yeah, they own a lot of stuff. And it's all... Now, they're not going to do an across-the-board paywall. Some of them are going to do, like, the X number of articles per week or month. Some of them are going to do just straight-up paywall. But they're all going to have something to keep you out.
I wonder if that means the journalists will have a job.
Nah, they're just going to copy stories from... You ever see those... another great thing they do is they'll take those fitness magazines, like Men's Health, and they'll do an entire year of covers in one picture. And every 4 to 5 months, they just recycle the headlines in a different spot. Like 6 weeks to rock hard abs at least 5 times a year.
Wow.
At least. And you got to think it's basically the same information. Well, Microsoft is going into the subscription service. As we know, they want the OS itself to be a subscription. Everything goes through the cloud. You pay for it by the month. That's the future. And they feel so strongly about that they're denouncing non-cloud products made by Microsoft.
Yeah. Microsoft, we make Office 2019 and Internet Explorer, but don't use them. So they've got this ad campaign with twins, and one of them uses Office 19, and the other one uses Office 365. And they've got all these contrived tasks that they do, and the cloud integration with Office 365 makes the tasks easier. It's BS. It's total BS.
They're also denouncing Internet Explorer in the wake of their sunsetting support for that. Because, can confirm, a lot of people still use Internet Explorer, which is tragic. I agree with them on that one. But they're pleading, please.
We're building websites in 2019. We need Internet Explorer 11 support. No, you don't.
Now, here's a question for you. What do you think the Venn diagram looks like of people who want to purchase a Raspberry Pi and people who don't shop online? Just a circle, right?
Yeah.
So this one's weird.
Raspberry Pi gets its own brick and mortar retail store. So yeah, they had a bunch of pictures from the inside of it, and it's literally just all the different Raspberry Pis and the accessories and like stuff that you can build with a Raspberry Pi, which I guess is kind of cool.
They've got some apparel. And like and water mugs. Bottles. Yeah, stuff like that. So
it just doesn't seem like that. I bet the rent in this mall is like $50 a month.
If you really love Raspberry Pi, you might make a pilgrimage. But I don't think you get a price break or anything.
I saw one time a company like Raspberry Pi like did this just for an ad campaign. Like they had a lot of cool products, but everybody bought them online. So they literally just rented a store in a mall for like a month, so that they could do an ad campaign with like a lot of pictures to show stuff that they're like their cool products or whatever.
It's a little bit Apple Store-ish too.
Yeah.
Although a decided step down from the expense of the Apple Store.
I've often wondered if there would ever be a makerspace like this where it's a little bit retail and a little bit like, you know, there's equipment you can use and people that you can talk to, but like you buy your stuff and then you can like solder it and build stuff in the back.
Yeah. The problem with that is how many times you're going to have to go to people and be like, listen, you're going to have to take a shower.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't bring your waifu pillow anymore. I'm sorry.
It makes the other guests uncomfortable.
I don't mean, the fur tail and ears. We were weird about that. We decided not to say anything, but Hatsune has to go back home.
We've had 4 complaints.
If you find yourself in prison, you will discover that you're not blocked out from the outside world, but it's almost as if prison is a microcosm of if the telecommunication companies get everything they want, which is you can communicate with the outside world through a tiny, tiny little portal, but you have to pay out the ass for it.
Yeah.
So some enterprising ex-convicts have come up with alternatives.
Ex-cons have created Instagram for prisons, and wardens are fine with that. So Pigeonly, is that how you...
Pigeonly, I think.
And Inmate Aid. So literally, you install an app, like people on the outside install an app on their phone, and they take Instagram-like photos. But what happens when you do that with the app is that it prints out whatever you took a picture of and mails it to whatever inmate that you had set up in the system.
So yeah, you see... With modern photo printing, it's fairly easy to generate stuff like this.
Because it costs too much for them to get emails.
You will get physical mail. Basically, it's like Instagram, but there's a 2-week delay.
Yeah.
And you can do a $7.99 or a $21.99 subscription, and that gets you ever how many images or shipments. But you post just like you would social media if you're on the outside, and then the physical pictures go in. So... And it's totally legal because you're just using U.S. mail. And that's one thing in prison. They can't violate your ability to get mail. They will screen them. You're not allowed to send pictures of nudity or drug paraphernalia.
Neat.
Which I got to think nudity would be one of the most popular. Which is unfortunate for the prisoners. Instagram has come under fire because a young lady... decided to take her own life, and a lot of people are saying she was motivated to do so by images of similar things happening on Instagram.
Instagram vows to remove all graphic self-harm images from the site. I didn't know this was a problem.
Yeah, this is kind of like, remember when Tumblr had the porn thing? I was like, Tumblr has porn? What? I had no idea. But yeah, apparently Instagram, I remember... A lot more, like on Instagram, we talked about before, eating disorders. Were these girls taking pictures of themselves being severely anorexic or whatever, or it's like, oh, hey, just threw up for like half an hour. Look how good I look in this dress, you know, and that they glorified it.
Yeah.
So I guess it's a similar type of thing. This guy claims he's going to fix it. I don't know how you do that. Just an army of Indians like Facebook does it?
It would have to be manual review or flagging.
Yeah. And also, they graphic self-harm. So, is there a non-graphic self-harm?
Programming. Like I'm sitting at the computer programming.
Using Apple products. Facebook is once again desperately trying to get ahead of this wave of anti-data collection. It's kind of like, hey, let's police ourselves. Before the real police come.
Facebook will reveal who uploaded your contact info for ad targeting. So the idea here is when you see an ad on Facebook, you click the link, why am I seeing this ad? And Facebook will tell you exactly who uploaded your contact info. Because on Facebook, not creepy at all, you can target individuals. You can say, I want to advertise to this person's name or email address or phone number. Or I want to advertise to an 18-year-old Inuit widow of 2 or something. And you can do that on Facebook.
Which is a tough audience to crack into, let me tell you. I've been getting a lot of those mailers where it's like, we're having a 2-day event and you're invited and I'm going to teach you how to use social media to skyrocket your sales. Or it's like, you know, get into real estate and flip houses. I've never gotten anything like that before. So I'm positive it was the title company when I bought my house. Because that's clearly the audience they want, right? They don't want losers living in apartments with no income. You got to be able to put like 10, 20 grand into this project and make any money. And that's just hilarious. And I got one of them and it was like, come and learn in a 2-day thing to master social media. And it's like, okay, wait, you're a master of social media, but you can't fill up a room without using direct mailers? Wait a minute.
Well, if you could use social media, would you go to one of those? I mean.
But yeah, that's exactly. Well, remember when Zuckerberg got in trouble because it turned out he had disappeared, just totally memory holed, some of his messages to users because they were embarrassing.
He deleted it on their end.
Right. It turns out that they're still going to let him do that. That's not something they're going to take away from Zuckerberg because, you know, he's in control. But they are going to give you, they're going to throw you a little bone.
Facebook now lets everyone unsend messages for 10 minutes. Now, we should be clear that the event that we're referring to, Zuckerberg unsent after like 10 months, not 10 minutes.
Yeah, right. He unsent them when things got a little hairy. And it's like, oh, better go clean up the history of that.
Yeah. So, well, now for 10 minutes. This will be abused. We used to have this on the forum. It was abused.
But the other, is it hold it for 10 minutes or can the other person see it during that time?
The other person can see it during that time.
That doesn't make any sense at all.
How we had it. So, well, the other person is not guaranteed to have seen it because it might be unread. So
but I'm saying, like, if they can see it at all during those 10 minutes, what's the point of taking it back?
Well, yeah. Yeah. Because they will have seen it.
That would be great if...
You could troll with
if
it.
If there's no record of that, it's like, I'm going to kill you. Delete. That can't be how that works.
Well, it can't delay for 10 minutes. Otherwise, it's going to make real-time conversation with somebody annoying.
But that's... The messenger?
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes no sense, does it? So I guess it would have to be unread. Yeah. You probably lose the ability once it's read.
Yeah, I guess. Maybe. You know, we should do experiments. Engagement challenge.
Then we'd have to use Facebook. You ever see those screenshots where it's like, hello, m'lady. How would you, you know? And then it goes unread for like 5 minutes and it's like, I fucking hate you anyway. You fat bitch.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Those guys are really going to be into that.
That's what they were doing on the forum. They were like getting everybody riled up by posting terrible things. It's like, guys, why are you wasting my time with this?
They're going to have scripts that just fire those out everywhere.
Yeah.
And then delete them if they're not been read. And then they'll just do it again the next day.
Yeah.
Terrible. Terrible. Wells Fargo, we talked about last week, had a little bit of an ATM problem. The problem being nothing worked. It turns out that the problems did not stop there, and they continue.
Wells Fargo's outage. Customers say direct deposits are not showing up. So this turns out that there was a smoke event in a data center, and it crippled Wells Fargo.
Not the kind of smoke event that Krista would be involved in. This was, you know, some sort of failure of equipment.
Nothing caught on fire. It was just that the data center was so sensitive to foreign contaminants in the air, smoke, maybe a vape event. We don't really know.
Also, it could have been a Krista-type smoke event, though.
Maybe.
We have a special room for her that vents outside here.
We don't know.
But yeah, they're saying that they still don't have it fixed up, and they're silent on the topic, or they were as of this article, which came out on the 8th. People were like, hey, I got paid this week, and yet it's not there, and I need this money to live. They weren't saying anything.
Wells Fargo's outage. How far will it go? Because Wells Fargo will go far.
Yeah, I got it.
I ain't laughing, but I got it.
We'll be back Friday. Friday will be security, robots, and everybody's favorite nonsense.
See you then.